Well, now we're going to read Exodus 33, verses 12 through 23, from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Moses' intercession. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you have said to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me your ways, so that I may know you and find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." He said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Unless you go with us in this way, we shall be distinct, I and your people, from every people on the face of the earth." The Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have asked, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Please show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you the name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on who I will show mercy." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live." And the Lord continued, "See, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen."
It's one of those days where I feel like I have 10,000 different pieces, and really I don't. I don't have 10,000. I'll tell you very quickly that this very large teddy bear that's up in the front was given to me by the students at the alternative school when my mom died. They made the comment and they said, "She is going to miss her mom so much, she needs something big." And so that teddy bear has lived at the Access for several years and now lives in my office here. And I will say, even though I've never named him, he's very comfortable right here on the front pew, but he'll go back to the office. I'm thankful for the kids that last week invited us to bring our teddy bears. I wanted to tell that story. So I want to tell another story. I want to tell the story of the paper clip puppy. Through my years of ministry, in almost every church I've been in until here, being with you, I have been the associate pastor. Now, associate pastor for many of us who are in the ministry actually means youth pastor. So I have been privileged and pleased to spend lots of time with middle school kids and high school kids. And through the years, I've kept in contact with many of them. One of my dearest, dearest friends was in my youth ministry even before I went to seminary, and she has been the youth leader at Fishers United Methodist Church junior high ministry now for over 20 years. I think it's 23 years. And currently is in Africa as they are finding a way for the kids at Fishers to be involved in missions in Africa. Another young woman has an incredible youth ministry in Terre Haute. And not only is she the youth leader, but she also has, in Terre Haute, she became part of the Tim Tebow Foundation. And every year she hosts a prom for special needs adults. And they can come and dance. And then she realized that there is a need for special need adults housing, and so she has started a whole corporation at the same time as she is the youth leader. She far, far exceeds any of my ambitions. And this is her story of the paperclip puppy. Has anybody ever heard of the name Bigger and Better? Or the game Bigger and Better? So clearly nobody here has played Bigger and Better, right? If you have never heard of it. Maybe you have played and you just didn't realize it. Well, it's very popular in youth ministry because it gets kids out and moving, and it gives the youth leader like all this extra time just to sit in the church and wait for them to come back. And this is the deal. You divide kids up into groups, and each group has a paperclip. And so their job is to go to a house of people, hopefully, that they don't know, because you know you don't want them to trace you later. And you say, could you exchange this paperclip for something bigger and better? And so then you take that item that they exchange with you and you go to another house. Could you take this ping pong paddle and exchange for something bigger and better? And that is the reason that Jess, my dear friend in Terre Haute, has a dog. Because when one group got to the end, the bigger and better thing was a dog. And that puppy, whose name is Cooper, is just delightful. And he has lived in the house with the adults for special needs, and Jess has had him now for about 6 years. Bigger and better. And the whole point of that is, are you willing to trade up? Oh, I forgot one little tiny part. Jess did change the name of the game, and it's not Bigger and Better anymore. It's called Not Bigger and Alive. So that's the new game they play in Terre Haute. But it still stands. Are we willing to trade up? I want us to sit with that phrase for just a little bit. The scripture today, it comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. And Paul writes this to encourage the people of Corinth. And this is what he says. The point is this. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This scripture passage is Paul helping the people who actually were kind of the early church, helping enforce them, influence them, encourage them, and then also remind them that it's not their job just to hang out, but it's their job to go out and to help others understand. Does that make sense? Are we willing to trade up? Are we willing to just be who we are? Or are we willing to let God lead us into something bigger and better? And in this passage, Paul reminds the people that whom he loves dearly and whom he is trying to help that real rewards are increased capacity to love. Did you get that? The real rewards that we have in our life, it's not the stuff that we accumulate, although some of us accumulate stuff, and I'm really talking to me like it's my job. But the real rewards in our life are in the ways that our capacity to love is increased. Love not just those within our own family or those within our own church, but God calls us, Scripture calls us to love everyone, absolutely everyone. I remember when I was growing up and I was told this passage, or I was told that I am to love everyone and not judge. And under my breath, I was thinking, yeah, but you don't know this kid that's in my class that kicks me every day. If I'd said it out loud, my parents and my Sunday school teachers and the people who surrounded me would have reminded me, yes, maybe especially the kid who kicks you at school. God doesn't say, well, just love the people who are good to you, or just love the people who give you stuff, or just love the people that you love to be with. God asks us to love everyone. And the joy of being a church body is that on days when I am just feeling crummy about my world, my life, what I have failed to do, there is somebody close to me to say, hey, hang in there. Fortunately, God gives us all kinds of opportunities and gives us all kinds of days. Paul is saying to the people of Corinth, while you think your rewards are the stuff you accumulate or the people that are closest to you, your real reward is how you have increased your capacity to love everyone. Everyone. Please hear me say, I'm talking to myself more than I'm talking to you. Because I think we all know that person that is a little tough to love. God doesn't say you don't have to love those people that are tough to love, but you know what? Maybe those are the people that you need to love even a little bit more. This passage in Corinthians also tells us that God blesses us not so we can become those hoarders, but so that we can supply the needs of others. God says to us, I love you so much, and I am willing to give you everything. I am willing to remind you that I am with you always, that you will never go anyplace alone. And this is what I ask. Will you love those people who also need to know that love? Will you go out of your comfort zone? And boy, the older I get, it feels like that's even tougher. When I was young, it didn't seem like that big of a deal. But now, God says, the blessings that I give to you aren't for you to keep to yourself. The blessings that I give to you are to supply the needs of other people, of others. And so, the third major point that I think this scripture passage means is that Paul is saying to these people, that at times in your lives when you are tested, the tests that we endure reveal the quality of our character. Well, I don't want to hear that either. I don't want to hear that everything that comes in my life that feels like a test is for me to see my character and to reveal the quality of my character. Maybe you don't feel this way, but sometimes I feel very, very vindicated to be angry and upset at, well, you know, those other people. Sometimes I feel that that my life is being a little bit skewed, not because of my choices, but because of choices other people have made that I've had to live with. And yet Paul says to the people of Corinth, let me tell you that all of these tests that you are finding in your lives, all of these trials that you come up against, that's for us to see the quality of your character. Can you bounce back? Can you be resilient? Can you love the person that has harmed you the most? Boy, it's a tough call. This is, if I was playing the bigger and better game, this is where I would say, oh, no, stop. I don't need a bigger and better test. And yet sometimes it happens. Paul is reminding the people of Corinth that you have been blessed to be a blessing for others. You have not been blessed so that you can sit and just bask in the blessing. But we've been blessed to be a blessing for others. Now, I chose this passage specifically because this is our stewardship campaign. Ah, you knew it was coming, didn't you? You knew it was coming. She's going to talk about stewardship sometime. And here we go. Our congregation and our church has been here for many, many, many years. And it stands because you have been faithful to the promises of God and you have been faithful to the call of God. And we believe in stewardship in our church, again, for three reasons. Actually, there are a lot more, but let me point out these three. We believe in stewardship in our church because the spiritual needs of our congregation to love God is first and the most important thing in our lives. Sometimes it's difficult for people to understand that as they watch Christians, as they watch people of faith, and they see them do some amazing things, and you think, how in the world? Because it's the spiritual needs for us that reminds us that we love God first and most importantly. It's a tough call. It's a tough call for those of us that have close family and close friends. And yet, that's what stewardship is. Stewardship isn't just the giving of our money, but it's giving of our time and our talents. It's giving of our whole body and our whole being. Secondly, we believe in stewardship in our church because we're led by our love of God with our heart, our mind, and our strength. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for us so that we may know that same kind of love. Stewardship in our church is shown by the love that we show to everyone around us, not just through our words, but that we have put internally in us with our heart, our mind, and our strength. Are there days when I fail? Oh, yes. Those of you who know me best know I fail constantly at this. Please hear me say this. I'm not up here telling you you all should be doing it. I'm really preaching to me because I have to be reminded. And thirdly, we believe in stewardship in our church because we want to live in a place of gratitude. We want to place everything we have and all that we are at God's disposal. We want to be able to say, God, use me the way you see fit. Take me where you want me to go. Lead me. And in the middle, in the mix, we discover that between what God offers us and what we hold back are the gaps that need to be filled. God is never saying to us, come on, Laura, I've given you this opportunity 15 times and you have blown me off. I'm done. I'm out of here. Fortunately, God says, and I believe to me, okay, Laura, I've given you this opportunity 4,672 times. Here we go to the 73rd. We're going to do it again because I believe that you can trade up and be bigger and be better. That's why we have a stewardship campaign. It's not just about our money. It's about our time and our talents. But it's also about the money. It's all three together. So, as you think about your pledge card, as you think beyond the pledging, as you think about your life in the church, as you think about your life in Christ, be reminded of what Paul says to the people of Corinth. And ends with that phrase, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I love that. Before I end this message, I want to tell you about a young man who played bigger and better. In his youth group, they were given red paperclips. So everybody started out with a red paperclip, and everybody was on their own. They didn't go in groups. And so when he went to the first house, he said, I've got a paperclip. What do you have for me that's bigger and better? And they said, you know what? I got this dining room table. Take it. Get it out of here. So he gets the dining room table, and he goes to the next house, and he said, okay, I got this dining room table. What can you give me that's bigger and better? I'll trade you. I'm trading up. And they said, you know what? We've got a queen-size mattress. Pull it out here, guys. And they did. And now he has a mattress. And then he got a ping pong table after that. And then he had five more trades. And then he went to a house and they said, you know what? We've got this Dodge truck and it works really well and we don't need it. And he gave him the truck. This kid drove back to his church with a truck. And everybody was amazed. But his father, who wrote the story, was even more amazed. The youth leader calls his dad and said, I'm going to tell you, we were playing bigger and better. You know, this has never, ever happened. But he came home with a truck. And so he's going to be driving home with a truck, and I just wanted you to know. And when he got home, he was walking. And his dad said, your youth leader called me. What in the heck happened? Where's the truck? Did it die and you had to walk home? And he said, Dad, you know that church that's just getting started? They needed that truck, and so I gave it to them. And that little tiny church that had just started now has a truck that they can use for at their disposal for whatever you need. Playing bigger and better is a great youth group game. But it's also a reminder of what we do each and every day with our love of God. That every single day, we get to trade up with God to say, God, show me the bigger and show me the better. Use me to be the bigger and the better in someone's life. Show me that your love for me is bigger and better today than it was yesterday. And you know what? God does every single time. May God bless our stewardship campaign. May God bless us. And may we be reminded that we are blessed to be a blessing to others today and every day. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.